The first chapter, Revelation chapter 21. Dr. Bob Tate's this week. He sends his greetings to you. He is teaching a men's Bible studies in the book of Revelation. He's in chapter 3. So he's got a ways to go. I had to laugh, though, as he told me, because tonight he's doing chapter 2 and 3. I think it took me like 3 months to get through chapter 2 and 3. But he's doing it all in one night, so he might be doing an abbreviated version. But if you're doing the book of Revelation for the first time, it's best to do it fast. So that nobody asks you questions. We're in Revelation chapter 21. We've been here for a long time. We're coming down to the end. And I want to bring you on this section this evening a reminder, and the reminder is in the title, that we should be fixated on the person, not the place. God tells us about the place, but we should not fixate on the place. We should fixate on the person. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening, and you give us wisdom, insight, understanding. May you help us to understand that we can try to grasp the magnitude of who you are in eternity. But eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But while we're doing that, Lord, may we fixate on you, what you did for us, your love for us. Well, thank you for what you do in our hearts this evening as we pray and praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. When people talk about heaven, one of the things they talk about is gold. Gold. It's got streets of pure gold as transparent glass. But actually, that's talking about the New Jerusalem that comes down from God out of heaven. But what is that? I said to somebody recently, I have a tendency to say this a lot, because we have a tendency to fixate on the place and not the person. And when we go out knocking on doors, we are telling people about Jesus Christ. I am not selling timeshares in heaven. But sometimes in our Baptist churches, it can be about selling a place, a timeshare, heaven. Are you 100% for sure you're on your way to heaven? Listen. Have you been reconciled with Jesus Christ? You have a sin problem. There is a Savior. You're going to a place called hell because of sin, and you need to be redeemed. You need an answer to the sin problem. Now, one of the benefits of coming to Christ is heaven, but it's not about the place. It's not about the place. We have a tendency to get caught up into that. The city itself has 12 gates, solid foundations. We mentioned last week the gates are open. Somebody said to me recently, heaven sounds like a prison. I wouldn't want to go there. The gates are open. Open. What that mean? People are coming and going. You can come and go. You're not held prisoner. It's not a prison. Now the other place, that's a prison. That's where the doors are shut up and locked. Revelation chapter 22. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottom of the pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him. What is that? That's prison. This is not a great contrast. Revelation chapter 21 and 22 talk of the new Jerusalem. Look at verse 16. And the city lieth four square, the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal.
And again, we mentioned last week, some people think that it's a pyramid. I'm thinking four square and the height is equal. I say, well, the height is this way. Brother Monday, hold on. Mathematical question. I suppose the height of it would be measured to the tip of the pinnacle, right? So I guess they could say that the height in that one spot was equal. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. I'm a cube guy. I just think it's a cube, and I think that's pretty much described here. I'll just say Hollywood thinks it's a cube. There is a I don't know which one of the Star Treks it is, but wait a minute. Which one? Oh, whatever she said. And the people on the starship are battling the Borg, and they're in a cube that is traveling through outer space. And you look at that and you think, who in their right mind would think of a cube in outer space? I think they read Revelation 21 and 22. You look at some of the beasts that Hollywood comes up with, and it seems like it's some of the beasts of Revelation. Just seems like that to me.
Saw a beast having seven heads and ten horns.
Now, just saying. And now, what are they doing? They're making a mockery of God's word. We talk of heaven. We talk of New Jerusalem. We talk of the new earth. We talk about seeing our loved ones. I just want to say Jesus. Do you want to see your mom? Don't tell my dad. I just want to see Jesus. How about your older brother? Jesus? Is that a problem? It shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. You should desire, as you grow in grace and grow in God's word, you should desire to see the person. Now, make no bones about it. It is a city of beautiful, a city of beauty. And somebody wrote a song. There's a holy and beautiful city whose builder and ruler is God. John saw it descending from heaven while Patmos in exile he trod. Its high massive wall is of jasper, the city itself is pure gold, and when my frail tent here is folded, mine eye shall its glory behold. There's some good doctrine in that song if you read Revelation 21 and 22. Jasper, pure gold, clear glass. The foundations garnished with precious stones. And again, just a reminder that I have not seen. Every once in a while in the auditorium, one of our ladies will be standing directly under the light, and their wedding ring will be out there, and the light will catch it and arc off the. And I'll go, wow, that is a beautiful ring you have. Oh, yeah. All the ladies, oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Why? And that's just a teeny, weeny, itty bitty little stone. But here, you look in verse 19, the foundations of the wall of the city are garnished with all manner of precious stones. And these are pretty cheap lights here. Who is lighting the city? Well, there's no sun, there's no moon. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the light thereof. Imagine the pure light of the precious, only begotten Son of God shining off the stones that are garnishing the walls and in the foundations and in the gates of the city. The first foundation is jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth a chrysophagus, the 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst, which is a birthstone for February, for those of you that don't know that. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. I don't know what you think about when you read God's Word. I'm reading this and I'm thinking, that's a big oyster. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Can you imagine? It's just incredible. Every several gate was of one pearl. Man. And the street of the city, again, that's not heaven, this is New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, I believe resting on the foundation of the new earth. The street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. Now, that's interesting. I don't have all the answers. Again, I have not seen, I don't have all the answers. Neither have they heard, neither has entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And that verse, street is singular. And the street, one, of the city, one, was a pure gold. I don't know. Maybe it's big. Maybe it's just one street that it keeps winding around. I don't know. That's what it says. I don't have the answer to that. I don't have all the answers. Listen, I haven't even figured out all the questions yet. And I know Brother Parsons picks on me for asking me a question and I never give him an answer. I don't know anything, Brother Parsons. Successive layers of foundations. The sapphire. The sapphire is like a diamond in hardness. Third layer, the chalcedony. The fourth layer, emerald green, which just happens to be my favorite color. I love green. Anything green. Not necessarily money. It's not the right color. But the trees and the grass. I like green. It's my favorite color. The fifth, the sardonyx. A red, it's a red and white stone. Man, beautiful. The sardius, a reddish stone. The chrysophis is a green stone. The jacinth is a violet. The 12th, the amethyst, which is a purple color. And the light of Christ illuminates this. And you want to talk about something that just is, whoa, I can just take your breath away. Just even trying to imagine it is difficult. It is a place of beauty. It is a proportionate place. It is a symmetrical place. It is a place that is in harmony. It is not a place of monotony. Why do I say that? Because as I study these two chapters and I see this place and I see the beauty and the stones and the foundations and the street of pure gold is transparent glass and the big pearl gate, I think, wow. Yet, people will say, I don't want to go to heaven because it sounds boring. Where do you live? I want to come see your house. If you think this house is boring, man, I'm going to be okay in heaven. Mrs. Bishop is going to get in trouble because she's a snooper. She is. So if she ever comes to your house, lock the doors because she's going to open them up and she's going to look. She wants to see everything. And if you're ever showing her house and you don't open one door, she's going to ask you, what's behind that door? She just got to know. And listen, when she and I are together and I'm saying something that's not appropriate in her mind, she's doing this. She's smacking me. We were out with an evangelist several years ago. We were down at Mount Vernon. You were there. And we took the evangelist out for lunch. And he preached several messages. And in a few weeks, he was going to be preaching out at camp where our kids were going to be. And I said, I hope you got a different message. You know, sometimes evangelists only have like five, right? I said, I hope you have a different message. You're going to be out of camp in a few weeks. And the kids really want to hear something new. And I got kicked by Mrs. Bishop under the table. And what did you do? I said, don't kick me. And then everybody knew I got kicked under the table. But every once in a while when we do like this, I'm like, I'm hitting her back. Stop it. Maybe they don't want you. Maybe they got a dead body in there. But anyway, she's going to be opening all the doors. She's going to be looking behind. She wants to see everything. I just want to see Jesus.
Amen.
I just want to see Jesus. Listen. So I talked to someone. We're at a funeral. And I understand people are grieving. And I get that. Why? Because it's your loved one. And you miss him. You're married for 27 years, right? Right. And I know that loss is raw. But I've heard people say foolish things about heaven in my lifetime. They said, you know what? If I can't be married to my wife up there, I don't want to go. It's like, really? You want to go to the other place? Not me. Oh, what are we? We're fixated on human relationships, what we can see, what we feel now, have a hard time understanding. Heaven is going to be totally different than it is here. It is a city of beauty. It is a city of light. Look at verse 22. I saw no temple therein. And that's an interesting descriptor. Why? Who do you think might take offense at that? The Jewish people? Why? Because they're all about the temple. What do you mean no temple there? No temple there. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Do you think possibly the Jewish people are fixated on the temple and the beauty of the temple and have got their eyes off of Jesus Christ? I'll just tell you, that's why they're in trouble today. That's why they got in trouble in the first century. We'll talk a little bit more about this on Sunday, a week from Sunday. Because Brother Smith's going to be here Sunday. But in the first century, did they have a temple? They did, until about 70 AD, the destruction of the temple by the Romans. And while they were enjoying the temple, the building, what did they miss? They missed Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Is that a problem? Man, that's a huge problem. And many of them are in a devil's hell today because they fixated on the place of the temple and not on the Lord Jesus Christ. It just, no temple, no sacrifice, no sun, no moon, no darkness, no gates that shut, no night there, no abomination, but no temple, no temple. You have the Old Testament. You have the temple in the wilderness. You go back in Jewish history. They're in the Old Testament. They're coming out of Egypt, and they've got the tabernacle, the place where they worshiped. What is heaven? It's the place where we worship. Who? Jesus Christ. Because it's all about Him.
Amen.
All about Him. Now, I don't know if you've ever, and there are a couple places in the world where you can go and they have a replica of the temple set up. There's a place in Pennsylvania. Mrs. Bishop and I have toured that. It's very interesting. But nothing can compare to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It was a place to focus on Christ. This building is a place to focus on Christ. But this place is not church. This is a church, which is you, building. That's a building. A pastor friend that doesn't have a building. And it was during COVID, and he couldn't meet in his building because it belonged to somebody else, and he was renting it. And they closed the building down because of COVID. So they got together under the interstate. The interstate doesn't leak water, hopefully. Hopefully. And they had church underneath the interstate. What is church? It's
People doing what? Worshiping Christ. And you say, man, I can hear traffic noise. Well, yeah, you can. But if you focus on the person, you won't focus on the traffic noise. Well, those kids, they're messing around. If you're focusing on a person, you wouldn't see the kids. It's too hot. It's too cold. Focus on the person. Too loud. It's too soft. Focus on Christ. That's where our focus should be. King Solomon's temple. Man, that was big. That was beautiful. And then, boy, the people were like, it's not like it used to be. They're building another temple, but it's not like it used to be. After the destruction, after the 70-year captivity, then Ezra and Nehemiah are going back and they're rebuilding the walls and the gates and the city and the temple. And the young people are excited. Why? Because they have a place to worship Christ. And the old guys are going, it was better when we had it. what was that? They got their eyes off Christ and put their eyes on the place. This is here, and we should study it. We should know it. But don't miss Jesus. That'd be a problem. City had no need of the sun, verse 23. Neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. There's another temple coming. Be built during tribulation period. Ezekiel 40 to 48 talk about the millennial. If you want to read those nine chapters, they talk about the millennial temple. I will not do that this evening. But in eternity, that temple place will not be necessary because Jesus is going to be the light. Focus on the person. Imagine eternal access to an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ Himself. And so I had a preacher say to me just recently, "Yeah, people, you say you're going to go to heaven and sit at, all I want to do is sit at the feet of Jesus. What a bunch of nonsense. Not everybody can sit at the feet of Jesus." I just looked right back at him and I said, "What kind of Baptist are you? Did you enjoy any doctrine?" He looked at me like, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, don't you believe in the omnipresence of Almighty God, that He can be everywhere at the same time?" And he was like, well, yeah. I said, "Well, then it's not going to be any problem to be at the feet of Jesus." I don't know. But I'm a little simplistic. And sometimes we get too smart for our own goods. Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John 1:9 says, "Jesus Christ is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world." When you trust Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes inside to live. Not when you get baptized, not when you get a second blessing. When you trusted Christ. Amen. "What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost that is in you?" How can He be? So Mrs. Bishop and I, the ladies have Bible study. I'll just tell you what. The ladies' Bible study, their doctrine is way too intense for me. So Mrs. Bishop is asking me all these questions. I can say, "I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Ask Melanie. I don't know." Why? I mean, it's just this finite mind can't comprehend who God is. I can't even make chili right. You're here Sunday night, you know what that means. But neither can Brother Sousa. He didn't even try. What's the problem? The problem is John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation. You ready? That light is coming to the world. Jesus Christ. But men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because because our ways are evil. We just want to do our own thing in our own way, in our own time. It's not the way we should be. But today, right now, today, you don't have to go to heaven to enjoy an intimate, personal relationship with Christ. Because if you walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And not only is it a city of beauty, a city of light, but it is a city of access. Look at verse 25. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. I'm a door locker. If I'm in your house, I'm going to lock the doors. I just am. I get out of the gas station, I lock the doors. Mrs. Bishop and I visited a home just recently, and the door to the backyard was unlocked, and I locked it. I lock doors. It's what I do. I can't tell you the number of times in my years of police work that at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd shake doors, and they forget to lock the doors at the bank. It was really neat. Walk in the bank, go to the president's office, and then sit down, put your feet up on his desk, and call him on the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning. Who is this? This is the police. Why are you calling me? Well, I got your name from the Rolodex on your secretary's desk, and it says you're the president of the bank. I'm sitting in your chair. Yeah, that's a really nice chair you have here. So I locked doors. So I'm in this house, this is Bishop and I, and I'm locking doors. And the lady of the house was in the backyard. And she wanted back in. I'd say, I'm sorry, I locked doors. There's not going to be doors to lock. Gates are open. Thieves aren't breaking through and stealing. You have to set your alarms and have video cameras, and you have to worry. Imagine the contrast. Right now we have night. During the millennial reign, 1,000 years, we'll have night. But in Revelation chapter 21, there's no night. I hate the dark. I am not a dark person. Now, I know that I like to hike Old Rag at night to see the stars. That's where you got to go. But I don't like. And when I was in police work, I go to a kindergarten class, and you can tell little guys, they ask all kinds of questions. Anybody got a question? Why? And you can tell they're talking to their parents. Why aren't the police always at the 7-Eleven? And I looked at those little ones and I said, because at night it's dark, and I don't like the dark. And at 7-Eleven, they keep the lights on all night long. And I want to be where there's light. And those little 5-year-olds are like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Probably not to their parents. And imagine, no night, no darkness, no wickedness, nobody breaking in. Man, in a perfect environment, human sin gone forever. Absolute moral purity. Eternal life. Are you walking in the light tonight? Through the gates of the city in a robe of spotless white, He will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages I shall mingle with delight. But I long to meet my Savior first of all. Amen. Father, we thank You for the truths of Your Word. Thank You for what You've told us about the city. And even though we've read it and we've studied it and we've looked and are amazed at what is there, we know from Your Word that we can't even begin to imagine the beauty of it. But we're not fixated on a place. This place. This earth. These relationships. Father, may we be fixated on You, who You are, what You've done for us, the price that You paid so that we could be healed from sin, the love that You have for us in preparing a place. But may we never, never, never get so fixated on the place. that we neglect you, the person. We'll thank you throughout all eternity for your salvation and your love for us as we praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.